The following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcast also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
Government has abandoned you. They have ordered you to die, G.I. Do not trust them. Defect, G.I. It is a very good idea to leave a sinking ship. They lie to you, G.I. You know you cannot win this war. Your rich leaders grow richer while you die in the swamp, G.I.
God bless America, my home, sweet home.
They will give you a medal, G.I., but only after you are dead. Your government lies to you every day, poor soldier. You have lost this war, G.I. Your army will leave you behind.
Hi, it's Ralph Galati. Join me today with Father Jim Drucker on Rock and Roll Reveille.
Welcome to Vietnam Radio. Welcome to American Radio. Welcome to God Bless America. Kate Smith, it's so great to be back on the radio. I am cooking. I am rocking with Billy Carlucci. Say a quick hi, Billy.
How you doing, everybody?
And Janine, our executive producer.
How you doing, Billy?
And Ralph Galati, just say hello. That's it.
Hello.
That's good. You're great. You can be paid. You'll be paid AFFM musician price. Listen, we have a great show lineup today because yesterday was National Prisoner of War MIA Day, so stated by our President of the United States, Joseph Biden, and we celebrates a terrible word. We recognize the horrors that these men went through. I'm listening to the beginning of our show with the Hanoi Hilton, and you know what? Let's just start the show right off. I do want to say one thing, that it's 3 days we're celebrating this week, are very special. First of all, the 18th of this month is the 77th birthday of our birthday, Ralph Galati, the United States Air Force, 18th of the month, 77th birthday. So we recognize the United States Air Force. We'll be playing some, by the way, I have a special treat for you in the show, Ralph Galati.
I can't wait.
We're going to be playing a PSA, public service announcement, from 1970 when you were in the Air Force and you were,
cool,
unfortunately, at POW. As a POW in Hanoi Hilton. I want to do one quick thing. I met a young man last night. What do you hear this, Ralph? His name is Alistair Craythorne. He's 22 years old. I told him I hate you. He's too young. Would you believe he's starting his career at McGuire Air Force Base? Today was his first day of work, so I sent him a nice note. God bless you, Alistair. May God be with you and grant you many years of health and blessings and a good life and a good Air Force career. So Ralph Galati is a South Philadelphian, and he was a tactical in the 25th Tactical Fighter Wing at Ubon Royal Thai Air Force Base, Thailand, from November 1971 until he was forced to eject over North Vietnam and was taken as a prisoner of war on February 16th, 1972. Matthew, will you continue, please?
Hey, Captain Galati, welcome home, sir.
Okay,
this
buddy.
Is Matt Menar, retired Army as well, engineer, producer of This Guy, Father Jim's show, Rock and Roll Reveille. Captain Galati, you're one of us. You're South Philly born. Sir, please share with us, our Philadelphia audience, growing up on the streets of South Philly as a youngster, please share your family life, parents, brothers, sisters, schools attended, and the best place to get a cheesesteak in Philly.
Oh, God. That's an awful lot to talk about. I grew up in South Philly. I still have some relatives who live down there in 9th and Mifflin, 9th and McKean by Bach Tech. But I really grew up in Southwest Philly, Transfiguration Parish, 58th and near 58th of Baltimore.
I know it.
And I just remember being surrounded by kids every day. I mean, one square block, you know, there were 50 kids to play with.
Wow.
And, you know, I was there till sixth grade. And it was, you know, they were really formative years. You know, my first grade class was 100 kids.
Mm.
And that's what I was used to. And then in sixth grade, we moved out to the suburbs in Delaware County and everything changed. You know, it was individual houses, not a lot of kids in the neighborhood. The classes were smaller. Everything was everything was more remote and distant. It wasn't as much fun.
What a cultural change.
It was, and I didn't enjoy that. But when I got to high school, I went to St. James in Chester, and then kind of found myself. It was more of a community. I joined some clubs, had some more friends. And then the diversity hit because there were people from all ethnic backgrounds. You know, so you had the Italians in one section of Chester, the Polacks in another section of Chester, the Irish. I mean, it was really unique, and that was my first exposure to that. But, you know, grade school, high school, college was all men. I mean, I didn't even know what a girl was until I got married. I mean, I only went to Catholic schools, and they were all boys all the time.
Wow.
So it wasn't until I got in the Air Force in 1970 that I started to see something bigger than just Philadelphia in terms of diversity of people. But it was formative. You know, I'm second generation American, like a lot of folks. You know, so I got really strong family roots, really strong Catholic roots, a really great education, you know, good rearing, and then went in the military and survival schools. You know, I was really lucky. You know, I mean,
Now, Rob, please share your mommy and daddy's name, and what's their background?
My father was Dominic. He was born in the States, but his family was Calabria. My mother's Lydia. She's Abruzzi. So they were the youngest of five in each of their families, but all their older brothers and sisters were born in Italy for the most part. So, you know, they came to this country with, you know, no skills, no language, no money, no house.
You're first generation, then.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And, you know, they taught themselves English. They found jobs. They became Americans. Nobody in my family, nobody of my era. I'm 76, so I have cousins older and younger than me. None of us speak Italian.
No.
You know, all of our parents decided, because of them, they were going to speak English in the house.
Lily Carlucci, jump in. You have your hand up like you're in school.
I don't speak no Italian either.
Yeah, yeah.
You're kidding me, Carlucci.
But they decided. They spoke Italian.
Yeah.
But they didn't know how to read or write Italian. They just learned it. So, you know, you could give them some script, and they didn't know. I mean, and then they had all these Americanized words that they didn't realize were not Italian. That's the way they spoke. But so we were, you know, it was very different back in that when I was born in 48, in the 50s and 60s, it was very different environment because you had a bunch of us that were like first or second generation Americans, and it was, you know, they survived the Depression and everything else. And
oh, it's interesting. You didn't go to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school 2 years at St. Anne's up in North Philadelphia.
I only went to Catholic school.
Oh, the old Catholic?
Only.
Oh, yeah, that's right, St. James.
Yeah, went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
So that may be what I am today, kind of. I don't know what it is, but I am a victim of my childhood.
I ended up leaving Catholic schools, and I'm a priest.
Well, you got thrown out. That's because you got thrown out, probably. So, all that bad
Many
behavior.
Times.
You told me about your bad behavior.
Father Jim, you do have a few issues there, you know.
Yes, you got it. You all know me well. Jeanine, jump in. Just say a couple of words, sir. Jump in and join the crowd here, Jeanine.
Jump in and join the crowd.
Just jump in and join
in. I grew up in the suburbs, and I thought it was great to have places to run and dig in the neighbors when they were building the houses to dig
in
the
growing up, there would have been different, but coming from Philly, it was culture shock, you know, because you just didn't have that brotherhood. All your buddies every day was just not good.
Yeah. We're looking for
computer specialists,
lab technicians,
plumbers,
carpenters,
electricians,
art illustrators,
statisticians,
crew chiefs,
accountants,
dental technicians,
air controllers,
security police,
auto mechanics,
fire chiefs.
If you can qualify for these Air Force jobs, you can get specialized training in a skill that's yours for life. You can earn good pay while you're learning, and you'll receive many extra benefits. For the location of your nearest Air Force recruiter, call toll-free 800-447-4700.
Radar.
TV repair.
Jet mechanics.
Jobs in the air.
Draftsman.
Cook.
Air operation.
A public service announcement. When you were in the Air Force in 1970, could you believe this?
Let's call that number, see what we get.
National POW MIA Recognition Day is an annual observance in the U.S. dedicated to honoring and remembering the sacrifices of American service members who were prisoners of war, POWs, and those who are still missing in action, MIA. Today we're blessed to have as our guests. God bless you, Ralph Kalati. We love you.
How can you think love will end when I've asked you to spend your whole life?
Yesterday, September 20th, we celebrated the National POW MIA Recognition Day. This is from the White House, September 19th, 2024. Throughout history, America's service members have risked everything to keep the light of liberty shining bright. Today, more than 81,000 of these brave men and women remain missing and accounted for around the world. They will never be forgotten, and their courage, service, and sacrifice will always be cherished by our grateful nation. On National POW MIA Recognition Day, we honor all of those missing and accounted for. We recommit to bringing them home, no matter how long it takes, and we express our ironclad support for their families. While there are 2 days in which our country recognizes prisoners of war, today we recognize and honor our guest, Captain Ralph Kalati, U.S. Air Force aviator, Vietnam POW, who spent 14 months in captivity in the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. Father Jim was lamenting how sad it is that there's so little radio and television publicity.
Yeah, and you know what, though? I get to, my community is mostly veterans anymore. So I was at Wilmington VA yesterday and Dover Air Force Base the day before. And, you know, those communities of military and veterans, it's still important to them. They celebrate or recognize the day with flag ceremonies. You know, but in the community, it's not. Although I'm looking right here on the table in the middle of us, there's a POW MIA flag. I appreciate that.
Thanks to Janine.
And the fact that it's still flying today after 50-some years is remarkable. Matter of fact, it's flying more now than it did a few years ago. It's authorized to fly every day.
Wonderful. But, you know, it's true because I'm a broadcaster. I've heard nothing.
Yeah.
I haven't heard one public service announcement. Have you, Matthew? Jump in here. Nothing.
I have not. If you didn't mention it, I wouldn't have known.
And even from the White House, not to pick on anybody politically, you would think there'd be things said a little bit more expression to explain that these heroic people.
Yeah, anyway, and I think that it would be nice if they would, because it's really POW.
You should be recognized.
We're just tagging along. It's really more about the 81,000 missing and 81,000 families that are still waiting and accounting. So you think from that standpoint they would, but you know, we're 50 years removed from Vietnam, which is where the bulk of it came from. So between the first Gulf War and the second Gulf War and the Middle East, you know, there weren't that many POWs missing in action, thankfully. So a lot of that has just escaped most of the younger generation.
Now, in my research, I found that the largest captivity of prisoners was World War II, and they were primarily enlisted men, the grunts, the foot soldiers. But in Vietnam, it was the officers.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Air Force is officer-loaded because of pilots. Now,
right.
By the way, call in at 888-329-3306. Ralph, I want to have joined with us, if you don't mind, someone you just met recently. I don't know physically, but I know by phone, Brigadier General Doug Satterfield. Will you join us, sir, please?
Yes, I'm online here. It's good to see you, hear you again, Ralph.
Great to hear your voice, General. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much. With my dog at my side.
Life is good.
Can't beat that.
Sitting in my room. Right.
Anyway, your thoughts on POW and MIAs, General, sir?
Well, obviously, they have a special place in all our hearts. I mean, that's a given. But I can tell you, you mentioned something earlier where the newest generations have no idea anything whatsoever about it. And because the largest numbers had passed away from World War II, there were quite a few in Korea as well, by the way, mostly, again, enlisted. But I'll tell you that things, the dynamics have changed so much, and too many people have their face in their phones and are not looking at the past to learn the past lessons, but more importantly, to learn about humility and about God and all those things that we can be taught. They simply overlook that because we're too busy. Simple as that. And that's why you're not seeing any public service announcements. Hey, we're too busy. There's important things going on. There's a presidential election. Oh, there's something else happening. But we overlook those things that are more important to us and that we have with us every single day.
General, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, broadcasting stations, radio, television, survive by PSAs. They are obliged for a certain percentage, because I have a first-class radio telephone FCC license, to play so many PSAs. And I'm really stunned, and I'm actually disappointed, and I'm actually upset. But listen, we have a lot of callers coming in. We have someone calling in that I have met before, took pictures of me when I gave the invocation at the seaside. I think it was for a street being named after a Navy man who gave his life for our country. And I'd like to have you introduce him because he's your guest on our show.
I have a feeling you're talking about Marine Patrick Hughes. Am I right?
Yes, sir. We're standing at attention, Patrick.
Patrick, did you get your official license today? He is now a formal photographer.
No.
Really?
I got my graduation sandwich and my drone diploma. Yes,
okay, you got your drone diploma.
So congratulations.
What's the license about? What is it?
He's now a certified drone. He could use a drone for photography, right?
Mm.
The last thing you want is any kind of an airplane in the hands of a Marine, even if it is a drone.
Anytime, anywhere you're at, if it's a veteran organization, a veteran cause, a veteran invocation benediction, Patrick Hughes is there with his camera. So now he's allowed us flying around with a drone. He'll probably be on the drone.
Yeah, he tried to get it indoors at the Wilmington VA hospital yesterday. They wouldn't let him in.
So jump in, Patrick. What are your thoughts about POW-MI and, of course, our good friend Ralph Galati?
Okay, well, here's my story. I got out of the military in 1968, and like a lot of Vietnam veterans, different things happened to me. I worked at Philadelphia Bulletin as a printer, not as a photographer, but that became my hobby, became my profession. So jumping ahead to 1993, I was delivering photographs in Booth Wind to a commercial customer I had, and there was a young lady there named Diane Mossman. Diane Mossman, I did not know, was the husband of Joe Mossman, who had a picture of him and his A4 Skyhook on her desk, and that kind of turned my life around, readmitting that I was a veteran. She told me about a veteran organization called Rolling Thunder, and you did not have to be a veteran to join that organization, but their main mission is to bring a full accounting for all service members that are still missing, unaccounted for, and also to try to prevent any further future veterans from being captured, and if they are, to have a full accountability for these service members. So that's part of my story. Yesterday, Ralph has been with me many times for the placing of these POW-MIA chairs of honor, which not only honor the missing service members, men and women, but also their families. And
now, Patrick, explain what that is, the chair of honor, please. You're on the air now on radio in Philadelphia, WWDB.
Okay, so the chair of honor kind of was started by a veteran friend of mine named Joe Dietremont. He was at a NASCAR race in Bristol, Tennessee, where he saw this black empty seat with a plaque, and the plaque basically said that this chair is set aside to honor those veterans that are still missing, unaccounted for, their families and loved ones, because of all the sacrifices they have made for our country. And he came back to Rolling Thunder, our conference, which is held in November in Washington, D.C., and spread it among the 99 chapters we have. And Joe D is kind of like a Johnny Appleseed, because if you look almost everywhere you look now, in schools, libraries, public places, sports arenas, you see these chairs. They're either a portable chair or they're a stadium-type chair that you would see if you were to go to the Phillies game, the Eagles game, go to Temple, and all the Big Fives and all the Big Five teams. And Fran Duffy was the first one who helped me as a good friend to get one placed in Lee Corus Center. And, of course, there's now one in the new facility at LaSalle, because we did that before Franny got there. So it's just a way of remembering, thanking the families, letting them know they're not forgotten and they will never be forgotten.
Now, is there any organization that our audience can contact through your auspices? Is there any number, anything on the internet they can contact to in this area of missing in action, prisoner of war missing in action?
Well, DPAA has a website where they have a breakdown of the different service members that are still missing. They update that as often as possible as service members.
Okay,
are
Patrick, do this for me. Phoneticize what that is. EPPA?
DPAA.
DPPA. No, what does it stand for?
Okay, D as in dog.
Go ahead, Delta.
Okay.
Go ahead.
P as in Peter. P as in Peter. A as in Albert.
And what is the name of the organization?
Defense Prisoner of War Accounting Agency.
Okay.
Okay. And again, their headquarters is in Washington, D.C. The director is Kelly McKay, who's also a retired service member. But on the Rolling Thunder National website, and if you were just to Google Rolling Thunder, you could find it. Or if you even go to my website, you could see.
What is your website?
It's very easy. It's my entire name, patrickjhughes.org.
And that's Patrick, PATRICKHUGHES.
And you left out my middle initial. So it's PATRICKJ. HUGHES.ORG.
Listen, today's show is on patriotism as well as our prisoner of wars and missing in action. Here is a PSA for you, Patrick, for the Marines.
begin with raw steel. Shape it with fire, muscle, and sweat. Polish it to razor-sharp perfection. We're looking for a few good men with a medal to be Marines.
Infantry's dirty. It's muddy. It's sweaty. You train a lot. You walk a whole lot. You go for days without sleep sometimes. Sometimes you think you can never live up to what's expected of you. Infantry's hard. I can't speak for anybody else. That's exactly why I want it.
And that is Billy Carlucci and the Essentials singing a song by one of the greatest songwriters and artists, Billy Carlucci. And the song is so appropriate when we talk about our veterans. And sometimes they need to have someone there for them. Sometimes it may not be their family. It may not be someone they work with. But it could be you, a friend, someone who knows the veteran and knows that they're going through some stress and encounters that they may not be able to handle. But they are needed. We cannot give up on them. And most of all, remember that each of us is a gift from God, and God has a plan for each of us. And if we take our life, that plan cannot be fulfilled. And we are essentially not allowing God to complete his mission of love, mercy, in saving our world. So each veteran, remember, if there is a struggle or a stressor in your life, it can be managed. You must delay any quick decisions, and by your delay, good thinking and an outcome will exist. May I recommend that you either call 988 or text 988, and someone will be there to help you with your stress or with your challenge. Certainly I'll be there. Doc Andy Savicki, 856-278-4042, 856-278-4042. Enjoy the rest of the show, and Father Drucker, Billy Carlucci, and all of the gang will be there for you.
Thank you, Doc. We love you. Tom. God bless you.
God bless you, my friends.
But maybe you'll be there.
Captain Galati.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing to have you in live in this studio, live.
It's great to be alive.
Amen to that.
Rock and roll reveille. I was an enlisted man in the United States Army in 1960 during Vietnam. I understand that you and your pilot, Bill Shortfinger, I call him Shortfinger, I like that better, were shot down in your Phantom F-4 jet in Vietnam on February 16th, 1972. Please share your feelings about that moment and what happened when you were taken to Hanoi Hilton. The Hilton, yeah, right. What happened to your first impression of the meeting with the POWs?
Shortfinger's birthday is tomorrow, by the way.
It is?
How about that?
God bless him.
Wait a minute, isn't your birthday this week too or something?
No, okay. Air Force's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's close enough.
There was a 15-minute period there from the time we took this surface-air missile debilitating hit until we got captured. That was 15 minutes of confusion and terror. So we were fortunate that we survived the impact of the surface-air missile. It didn't blow up the airplane. We were fortunate to have enough time to execute a successful ejection. We were fortunate that our parachute opened successfully.
Amen.
By the way, my shirt is the Martin Baker shirt.
Okay.
That's the company that makes the ejection seat of the F-4.
Okay. Wow.
And then we were lucky to have a successful PLF, parachute landing fall. So all those things happened successfully in the midst of being shot at in a combat zone and landing in a village. And I remember all those little pieces, but it was only 15 minutes of terror. But we survived. And 24 hours later, we're in Hanoi, and then, you know, the fun and games begins there. So, and that marked the first of about 75 days of either being isolated or in solitary confinement, where you learn a lot about yourself. So.
That's amazing.
And you were hoping there was a dust-off pilot. We have one on the air with us right now, Colonel Douglas Moore. Would you chime in with our guest, Ralph Galati, prisoner of war from Hanoi Hilton, sir?
Certainly, Father Drucker. Let me tell him, welcome back and thank you for your service. I had the good fortune yesterday of speaking to our large retirement community here about POW and MIA Day, and I have a personal story about that if you have time and during your broadcast.
Go ahead, Joe. Colonel.
First of all, thank you. Thanks for your service. Where the hell were you on February 16th, 1972? I could have used a little pickup, you know? Where was Uber?
Jim Drucker, the father, was driving Uber.
Sorry.
Share your story, Colonel Moore. We have a real menagerie of fun here today. It's a bunch of fun here with Ralph Galati, sir.
Okay, long before Ralph Galati was there, I was there in December of 1964.
Wow.
When there were less than 20,000 of us Americans there, little advisory teams scattered all over the country. No combat units and just a few F-100 and A-1E pilots, if you guys can remember what those were. But anyhow, Ho Chi Minh sent a 10,000-man force against a little village about 70 miles southeast of Saigon known as Binh Dao. And he wanted that village destroyed because it was populated mostly by North Vietnamese Catholics who had fled North Vietnam when country was divided by the Geneva Accords in 1954, and they considered those people to be bad
traitors.
Guys.
Yeah.
That village destroyed. They hit that village on the night of 29 December 1964 and began killing everyone. The next morning, we lifted in a Vietnamese ranger battalion to try to take the village back, and this humongous battle occurred, and I was flying a medevac helicopter at the time, hauling patients from there back to Saigon, 50 miles away. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was going back, and I heard two people talking on the radio. One was an advisor on the ground who said he was surrounded, and the bad guys were within a couple of hundred yards of him. The other guy was an Army helicopter gunship pilot who was trying to get him to move to a different location so he could maybe pick him up. Because this advisor was standing in a small clearing. He had used up all of his smoke grenades, couldn't mark his position. So he was standing inside a small clearing and waving his white handkerchief to show where he was. But anyhow, the gunship said, I can't land in that clearing. It's too small for me to land and pick you up. So move to one about a quarter mile to your southeast, and I'll pick you up. And the guy on the ground said, negative, that only results in you being shot down. At the time, I was about 20 miles out, so I called and said, I'll pick that advisor up when I get there if you'll provide cover. Well, I was 500 feet in the air and maybe 400, 500 yards out. I could see the clearing very clearly, very tiny space in the jungle. But the advisor came on the air and said, well, they're here now. My little people, meaning his South Vietnamese soldiers, are laying down their weapons, and they want me to turn off my radio. Thanks a lot for your help, and God bless you. And with those words, the advisor was gone. There's a whole lot more to this. He was held captive for 2 years and finally was murdered by the North Vietnamese and left his body left alongside a jungle trail north of Tay Ninh Mountain. And I'm just hoping someday before I check into Arlington myself that some farmer or some woodcutter might run across Sergeant Bennett's remains out there in the jungle, and he'll be brought home to be properly recognized and buried at Arlington.
May God so provide, sir. Now, sir, curiously, how old were you then? What age were you?
Oh, gosh, I was about 27 or 28.
Can you believe this? This is WWDB. This is Father Jimmy Drucker from K&A, Kensington and Allegheny, with Ralph Galati, prisoner of war. Our number is 888-329-3306, and you're listening to Rock and Roll Reveille.
Beautiful, oh, beautiful.
Let me tell you, these dust-off guys and any medevac guys, I say in the fondest of terms, these guys are crazy. They're flying most of the time without weapons or very few, but they're always flying into harm's way to pick up these guys on the ground, knowing full well that all the bad guys are around them shooting at the guy on the ground and shooting at the helicopters. And they go in there with one mission in mind. I got to save this one guy at the expense of the entire crew. And I say crazy because it's so admirable that I'm not sure I would do that. I mean, it's incredible what they did. God bless you guys.
Ralph Galati, welcome home. Colonel Moore, welcome home, sir.
Thank you, sir.
DI, your government has abandoned you. They have ordered you to die, DI. Do not trust them. Defect, DI. It is a very good idea to leave a sinking ship. They lie to you, DI. You know you cannot win this war. Your risk leader.
So can I mention a friend of mine, Larry List?
Absolutely,
who just got awarded the Silver Star.
This is your friend,
medevac over 50 pilot. Over 50 years later, medevac pilot. Larry he flew 650 missions in months.
Wow.
Helicopter guy. He was shot down 5 times. He was shot down 3 times in 24 hours. These guys do not stop. If there's somebody out there that needs help, whether it's a troop that was shot down, or in his case, in Larry's case, sometimes it was just troops on the ground or civilians on the ground that needed to be evacuated or they were going to be overrun and killed, these guys would just go out and find a way. And sometimes they had to go down through the foliage and beat it with the rotors to be able to find a landing spot. And they did it every day at great expense to their lives.
Last week we had Bill Cage, a grunt, an 11 Bravo foot soldier that was saved twice. He calls the dust-offs angels.
Oh, yeah.
Petty Officer Hernandez. I am currently a part of Waterside Division in PSU 307. What makes PSU awesome is the simple fact that at any point in time we can be called up to do humanitarian missions or expeditionary warfare missions, combat missions, and we're ready to go. The most rewarding part about being in the PSU is the opportunity of getting called to action to a humanitarian mission, like recently in Puerto Rico. A few of our guys were sent out there to help out. That's what it's all about.
Today we honor Ralph Galati, prisoner of war, missing in action soldiers. God bless them. God knows where they are, and may God bless them eternally. And you know, Ralph, I'm a Catholic priest, 46 years this year, December 3rd, 1978, I was ordained. And you're a Catholic boy, I'm a Catholic boy. How did your faith, your Catholic faith, help you while you were in this dungeon of horrors?
So I was talking to a bunch of active duty folks at Dover yesterday, and I talk about the swill or the grog, and there are components that go into your life that you tap into. So it was a combination of my family, my friends, my upbringing, my schooling, my neighborhood, my survival school, and my faith. And faith not being the last, but it's pretty significant. And you put all that stuff in the mix or the swill, and you never know what's going to come out when you need it, but you just tap into it. But all those things are there subconsciously that you use to survive or to thrive, whatever it happens to be. But we used faith, especially when you're in solitary, it was very instrumental. And I think I told you before, we use church services that we created that
Explain
we did
that.
On
Explain
Sundays.
That. Explain that.
Yeah, and we were told by the older POWs that we weren't supposed to do church services because it got all the guards upset. But we as young guys, we had very little to resist. I mean, our job was to resist. So we had to show our stuff. Not just to ourselves, but to the old guys that went through a lot.
Code of conduct.
Yeah, so we created a church service. Well, because it was important to us. And plus, it was a means of resistance. Well, the guards didn't like it. They came in and, you know, took people out. They threatened you with no food, which is not a big deal because we didn't know what the hell we were eating anyway. But then they took people out and beat them up. And then they came in with guns. And you know, after three or four of these weeks, we figured we had made a point. But the point was, we were going to do whatever was important to us, regardless of consequences. That's how strong your faith was, that it was vital to our survival and our resistance.
So Jesus Christ is important to you in your life, sir.
Always. And it's not just me. I mean, there were Jews there. There were non-Catholics. There were agnostics. There were atheists. Everybody prays.
So POW, Ralph Galati, there are no atheists
in foxholes.
In foxholes or in prisoner of war.
Correct.
Nor at Hanoi Hilton.
You'd be surprised how important it is when you need to tap into something.
Listen, next to the greatest advocate for veterans, Joe Griffies, we have on the air right now, we're going to bring on Bobby Riley, who is a tremendous man. He's from North Philly, from like my section. So Bobby, chime in here and join Ralph Galati and Janine and Billy Colucci and Doc Savick and Matt Minerick. Every time I say call Matt Minerick, it says Minerick anyway. And chime in here.
Yes, hello, Matt. Thanks for getting me on. Father Jim, good to talk to you again. Janine, Billy, always a pleasure. And Ralph, thank you so much for everything that you did during your service and extraordinary, exemplary, superior service after. I want to just add one thing. The helicopter pilots, the dust-offs, Joe Galloway termed them God's lunatics. Now, okay.
A term of endearment, by the way, yes.
Yeah, he hit that spot on, didn't he? So the BOWMI chair, I'm going to put it this way. I covered in New Jersey a handful from Paramus to the tip of South Jersey. Joe Griffies, Patrick Hughes, and Ralph Galati have covered it from Maine to Florida. I don't have enough hands and fingers because it's in the hundreds. But I'm going to do this to every citizen in America. It is a special event. It's the finest patriotic ceremony that you've never seen. that you have to see. It's one-of-a-kind dedication for 30 minutes of your time. Most of them are started with the Junior ROTC Honor Guard. It's the future of America.
So how do they find this? How do
you know
they
what,
find this?
You know what? The easiest one, other than Patrick Hughes' website or Rolling Thunder, you could contact almost any VFW, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans Post. Some of them, if not all of them, probably have a POW MIA chair in their facility, in their
post. We do. We
in
have our DAV at Gloucester.
And just ask them. They'll put you in touch with the people that make the chair. They'll put you in touch with Patrick, who they probably all know. It's a very short ceremony, as you mentioned. But really meaningful, and it's a really interesting talking point, especially if it's in a government or high traffic facility, because a lot of folks won't know what it is, and you get a chance to promote it.
Now, this song means something to you, Ralph. Let's play this one by Scott McKenzie on Rock and Roll Reveille.
If you're going to say Cisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're
GI, your government has abandoned you. They have ordered you to die, GI. Do not trust them. Defect, GI. It is a very good idea to leave a sinking ship. They lie to you, GI. You know you cannot win this war. Your rich leaders grow richer while you're dying in the swamp.
Of New England. The Navy. See your recruiter or call toll free. It's not just a job, it's an adventure.
Well, we're getting all the PSAs in, public service announcements, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force. We have a Space Force coming up soon. That's the modern day today. And, Bobby, you were going to stump me with a song. Go at it. Bobby Riley.
Oh, yes. Say again.
You were going to stump me with a song.
Oh, I am. Here, you ready? Here we go. It's a beauty.
Cream.
Oh, come on, everyone knows that.
You got it.
Echo Records.
Can I call it?
Sure, Ralph, come in.
Let me call it a couple people. Right. Patrick Hughes, you just heard from.
Perfect.
Hold on, Bobby.
Joe Griffey's. Okay. I mean, I have been blessed, Father Drucker, now. I have been blessed because I'm surrounded by really passionate people. And in most cases, I just do what I'm told. You know, Patrick says we're going to do a chair. Joe Griffey says I got a program to do. You want me on your program? I mean, if people are interested and they're passionate, at least I could do is show up, because they care enough to want me to talk, and I talk. I meet great new friends, which is great, and I get therapy out of it.
Sir, we're here.
Selfishly, this is all good for me.
We're here because of you. I'm here because of you. Matt and Janine and Billy and Colonel Moore, General Satterfield, sir, we love you.
Yeah.
You're a blessing. You're a hero.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everybody's support. It's really nice to be around people that still have passion for this, and sometimes it gets contagious. So that's our job. Spread the word.
Let's hear that PCA of the Space Force. This is brand new.
Some people look to the stars and ask, what if? Our job is to have an answer. We have to imagine what will be imagined. Plan for what's possible while it's still impossible.
Hello,
Maybe you weren't put here just to ask the questions. Maybe you were put here to be the answer. Maybe your purpose on this planet isn't on this planet.
Sir,
I understand that North Vietnam would not recognize the Geneva Convention, and please share how you communicated with each other through the sounds of taping.
Tapping.
They claimed, since we never declared war, that the Geneva Convention didn't apply, which was basically how to treat prisoners of war. So we had the Code of Conduct, which was our own guidance. Things like make every attempt to escape. If you're a senior, you'll take charge. You're only required to give name, rank, serial number, date of birth. So we tried all that. Of course, they didn't like to adhere to it. But if you could live next to somebody and you had a wall in between, you used the tap code. Just it's kind of a modified
SOS.
Morse code. If you could see people at a distance, you used a hand code. If you had some writing implements, you could write little notes and put them in a stick.
The hand code.
Whatever you could do to communicate, because communications was the lifeblood of the camp. And all of us were used to structured, hierarchical military organizations, so we kind of tried to do it that way, where we knew who was in charge, we knew who gave orders, we knew what we had to follow, try not to deviate from the obvious, you know, maintain your dignity, return home with honor. I mean, it was pretty simple, but you know, they didn't like any of that. They tried to contrive any method they could to keep us from communicating, because that was strength for us, just like them not having the church services. They didn't want us to do that either.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly
Ralph Gulati.
Yes, sir.
I love you. Thank you for your many sacrifices you made for us. We pray our dear Lord will bless you and your family abundantly. What is your wife's name, Ralph?
Rosemary.
God bless her.
She's a
and
saint.
God bless her and our many other courageous military veterans and families. And we pray for our missing in action. Let's take 5 seconds. We have tight time right now. A thought for our missing in actions, that they may be found. God bless them.
We pray for their families, because they've been suffering sometimes for 50 years.
Amen.
And freedom is a precious gift. We should not take it for advantage.
Amen. Next week, we have as our guest Johnny Madera, the legendary songwriter, record producer, produced Billy Carlucci songs. So Johnny, jump on the air with us right now. And tell everybody what we're going to do next week as we share your life story on WWDV and Rock and Roll Reveille, Father Jim Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille Show.
We're going to go back to the hop.
Absolutely. Anyway, we'll have Johnny on next week, and let's end with our Wild Blue Yonder with the Air Force theme as we recognize our 77th anniversary of the United States Army Air Corps, Army Air Force, and the United States Air Force. I love you all. God bless you. Everybody, say goodbye. We love you. Tune in next week.
Goodbye, Phil.
4 to 5 p.m.
Of the war.